Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Rideside, and the Super Bowl is set. It'll be the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. So much to get to, but first, Donnie, how you feeling this morning?
Feeling great here. I mean, what a day of football yesterday. You know, kicking off with the first game, following it into two close games. The playoffs have really delivered. And yesterday, a lot of surprises, Kevin, a lot of comebacks. And we got a lot of time today to talk about it.
We certainly do. We begin the 7-7 top headlines with the AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Three touchdowns on their first three drives. A 21-3 lead. And a 27-24 overtime loss to the Cincinnati Bengals at home. Joe Burrow and the Bengals absolutely stun the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're going to the Super Bowl, DRS.
Yeah, and talk about stunned. I mean, I know the Kansas City Chiefs and their fans were stunned. I was sitting there watching that game absolutely stunned. A 21-3 lead at home with the Chiefs. And they end up blowing that game and losing. Amazing. Now, look, when you need comebacks, a lot of things have to happen. But yesterday, 21-3, I was ready to go out and do some errands. Be like, okay, I'll get ready for the NFC Championship game. And here come the Bengals with a stop before they have. Incredible performance, and I can't wait to talk about it.
9 seconds left in the first half. First and goal at the one. The chance to go up 28-3. Cincinnati never got to 28. There will be a lot to rehashing of how Kansas City let this happen and, of course, how Cincinnati made it possible. On the NFC side, finally, the Rams beat the San Francisco 49ers. 6 in a row for San Fran, but the one that mattered most goes to the Los Angeles Rams, 20-17. Cover for the Niners, but it's the Rams, Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, Donnie, on their way to host the Super Bowl.
Down double digits in the fourth quarter. This is why you got Matthew Stafford. And look, hey, if you bet the 49ers, you probably won some money there as long as you didn't take them on the money line with the 3.5. But I have to say in this game, it really came down to when we're looking at it all week long. One side, you have Jimmy Garoppolo. The other side, you have Matthew Stafford. It's a pretty clean cap there. Now, it didn't work out, and the 49ers probably should have won. But Jimmy Garoppolo late in the fourth quarter with chance to do damage was absolutely atrocious. But credit that Rams football team coming back in the fourth quarter, and that defense played really well.
Is this the end for Jimmy in San Francisco? The Rams' validation of pushing all of their chips in is a lot of those key guys had big moments here. I'll also say that Cooper Kupp game, 11 catches, 142 and 2 touchdowns. Could he be having the single best wide receiver season in the history of this sport? Possible. Could he cap it with a Super Bowl MVP? We'll talk about it. Certainly, we'll also be talking about these lines. Again, it is going to be Rams, Bengals, Bengals technically the home team because that's just how it works. But, of course, the game in Los Angeles in SoFi Stadium. The Rams, a 4-point favorite, the total 49.5. And these lines have already been moving, Donnie, since they've opened up.
Yeah, I think they're pretty fair. I do think it's fair. Obviously, you have two very good offenses that are going to take the field on Super Bowl Sunday. You also have a team that's probably a little bit more talented in the Los Angeles Rams. But the one thing you can't factor on, I mean, if you're looking at this game coming in just quickly, and we have 2 weeks to cap this, but what more can the Cincinnati Bengals do to prove that they're a real football team? Like winning their first playoff game and feels like eons. Going on the road for their first playoff victory on the road of all time against the number one seed. And then doing damage against the Kansas City Chiefs. My goodness, Kevin. Impressive.
No doubt. Radio audience is in full effect. Appreciate all those tuned in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here on a Monday morning with the Super Bowl matchup set. LA Rams, Cincinnati Bengals, Rams favorite. There will be so much to break down. And again, we'll of course break down how we got here. But the one incredible thing, Donnie, with the Super Bowl being set, what could possibly be as important as the Super Bowl being set? Oh, I don't know, the best player in the history of the NFL retiring or maybe not retiring. It comes out over the weekend. Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington of ESPN, Brady hangs it up. The TB12 sports account says, Tom, thanks for everything. And then they walk that thing back. Nobody's told the Bucks a darn thing yet, Donnie. Expectations is he retires, but no official word yet on Tom Brady.
Yeah, sometimes when you set like on TweetDeck and you want to put a tweet out in the future and your guy gets maybe a week off on that, it's not a great look here. But there's a lot of smoke where there's fire in this one. And I was shocked. And I got the text from KW. I wasn't looking at my phone particularly over the weekend. And I see like he retired. I was like, I can't believe this. I went on a rant last week that there's no way Tom Brady is retiring. Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave it like this. And my goodness, Kevin, it looks like he will.
And I'm pretty sure now that means that I get to speculate on Aaron Rodgers as much as I want. We will talk about, yes, it does. Yes, it does, right? I got the Sean Payton to leave, and I got Tom Brady to retire. Rodgers might as well be shopping for new houses right now. We will be able to unpack all of that. Also, let's just hit it quickly here. Still big head coaching news. It's all NFL. This is probably the most loaded 7-7 we have ever had. Josh McDaniels gets another chance with the Vegas Raiders this time here. The Vikings interviewing Harbaugh, Michigan. Could they lose their man to Minnesota? And the Giants named their head coach over the weekend, Brian Daboll. For a lot of people, the number one candidate in the sport goes there to see if he can fix Danny Dimes. A lot to get to. You keep it right here. This is the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here we go. Monday morning. The Early Line is live to break down how we came to see the LA Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. We begin in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs at home were up massively in this game. I was able to work in-game live with Gabe Morenci over the weekend to follow along. Cincinnati at one point plus 1,100 in this football team in this game. At one point, getting 19.5 points. The Kansas City Chiefs had the ball on the one-yard line with 9 seconds to go and the opportunity to be up 28-3. Okay, they didn't get it. They came out in the second half. They started with the football. And slowly but surely, Cincinnati kept crawling back. And there were so many times that Cincinnati had an opportunity to end this one. Yes, this game went to overtime, but there's no conversation about, oh, people need to get the ball. The Kansas City Chiefs started with the football. It was the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he got the ball in overtime and did not score. DRS, the Cincinnati Bengals, after being booked as the fourth team in the AFC North, win the entire conference.
Unbelievable. And you want to talk about like landing ahead of schedule here. What is this, 3 years ahead of schedule? We were talking about coming into this season. Zach Taylor, forget about does he make it through the season. Does he make it halfway through the season at this point? Because they were predicted to be dead last in that division. We didn't know how the quarterback was going to turn himself around after getting injured. And it looked like one of those one-and-done exits, who's their next football coach going to be. And here they are in the Super Bowl. What an impressive performance. And also, we're going to break this game down step by step. But this was one of those games where I came into at 3 o'clock and said to myself, the Chiefs are a much better team. You saw the Cincinnati Bengals, Kevin, over the first two playoff games. They won, and that's all you're supposed to do, but not an impressive style. And then you see the Chiefs at Arrowhead sitting there and waiting for them, and fast forward to midway through the game. It's 21-3. Everybody is wide open for the Kansas City Chiefs. Running lanes are immense. The defense is playing very well. The crowd obviously having an impact here on the Cincinnati Bengals. And before you can blink your eye, right before the half, a screen pass goes for 41 yards and a touchdown. And still, we were saying, Kevin, 21-10. And all I thought was, they have over a minute to go down the field and score. They're going to get the football at the kickoff, get the kickoff in the second half, go down and score. Maybe I'm just going to hang out here and wait till the NFC Championship game. So the way the Bengals actually got it done, and then also at the end of the football game in overtime, you're waiting on the coin flip. It goes right to the Chiefs. You say, my goodness, there is going to be an uproar, Kevin, on Monday that we're going to say you have to change this overtime rule as Mahomes just goes probably, what, six plays, 65 yards, touchdown drive, game, set, match at that point. I was so enthralled by this second-half turnaround in this game, and credit the Bengals, who many a teams, Kevin, could have played in this football game, got down 21-3 and said, you know what? What a great season. We were never supposed to be here, and they fought their way right back in and won.
And it was so incredible because the way the Chiefs were running, it's like not only is this going to be 28-10 at the break, it's going to be 35-10 before the Bengals ever get back on the field, right? Because the Chiefs started the second half with the football. And the fact that Cincinnati was able to correct course there, we'll talk about how they did it. But here is the story. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals played twice this year. The Kansas City Chiefs scored 49 points in the first half of those two games combined. And in the two games combined, Donnie scored 6 points in the second half. No touchdowns in either of the two games in the second half. Scoreless in the third quarter of both games against the Cincinnati Bengals. It is unimaginable to watch an offense playing as well as they were, and for it falling apart the way that it did. And to talk about the why, the how, well, the Cincinnati Bengals made an adjustment. They said, okay, Patrick Mahomes has already thrown for 200 yards and 3 passing touchdowns on us. We can't stop him. We're going to drop 8. And if you run the ball and you take what we're giving you, then so be it. But we have to take away Mahomes' arm. And the Kansas City Chiefs said, nah, never mind. I'm pretty sure we can still throw it every play. There was a, in my opinion, hilarious tweet from, we don't need to give people the airwaves there, but someone very analytically driven who said that the Kansas City Chiefs had horrible play calling in the third quarter. I tend to agree. But here was the issue that this person took umbrage with, is that they kept running the football on first down. And those plays went for 6 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, and 7 yards. So 5 runs, all for at least 4 yards, all ahead of the sticks. How did those not all result then in first downs? Oh, is it because Mahomes kept throwing incomplete passes or running around into sacks? They could have easily iced this game, Donnie, by just running the football. Time was in their favor, but the Kansas City Chiefs played a stubborn and greedy brand of football, and it has ultimately cost them an AFC Championship crown and the chance to go back to the Super Bowl where they would have been favored.
And also credit the Cincinnati Bengals in the same wavelength for being down 21-3 and not giving up on the run. Because I know a lot of people just said, hey, let Joe Burrow cook. I understand that. But we also have to remember, no quarterback in the NFL has been sacked more times than Joe Burrow, including a game which they won where he was sacked 9 times. I thought the balance was great for the Bengals. They didn't give up on the running game. They still ran it in the second half. And how did they actually win the football game, Kevin, in overtime? Joe Mixon rumbling down the field. And also from a Kansas City Chiefs perspective, even if you watch that first half, Jerick McKinnon was doing whatever he wanted in the running game. So if we're pointing to the Kansas City Chiefs as not being aggressive enough, 3 touchdown passes in the first half, but also look at the running game. If you're going to tell me, and I'm looking at just, you know, the guys that normally have their hands on the football, Jerick McKinnon, 12 for 65, good for 5.4 yards per carry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6 carries, 36 yards, 6 yards per carry. Patrick Mahomes scrambling in the pocket, 3 carries for 19 yards. And we can include even Mecole Hardman, 2 carries, 18 yards, 9 yards per carry here. They finished with 24 runs, 139 yards, good for 5.8 yards per carry. That was an impressive performance on the ground. Maybe they didn't do it enough. I don't know. But at the same time, you can't fault either one of these teams for the way they played, because obviously you have running backs for a reason, and they were also paramount in this game at moving the football up and down the field. You could say right now, watching this game, what did you take out of it? Patrick Mahomes choked in the second half, I guess you could say. He was outrageous in the first half. They couldn't stop the Chiefs until that final drive where they got the football down to the one-yard line through a sideline pass, and Patrick Mahomes is trying to call a timeout because he had no idea about game clock situation. And even if that, trust me, I don't think he throws that football, Kevin, in the flat if he doesn't think he has a timeout. It was wild to actually see that play out. But running the football was not the reason in this game that either one of these teams struggled in the slightest.
Well, it's the reason not running the ball is why the Chiefs were not breaking down a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl. That's the reason why. The statistics are there. The Cincinnati Bengals ran drop eight at the highest rate they have all season long, according to Next Gen Stats. They nearly doubled their use of drop eight in the second half compared to the first half. There's three guys in the box. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon are averaging 6 yards per carry. Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball incomplete every single time. I'm sure plenty of people tuned in here have been to a couple of tables in Vegas or Atlantic City or wherever you'd like. That's not going to come up black again. That's not a way to live. And Mahomes can't possibly throw another incompletion. He did. Just run the ball. I know we're talking about probably the best quarterback in the NFL, a guy that legitimately in 4 years of a playing career looks like he is absolutely going to land on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs in the beginning of the season struggled because they wouldn't take what the defense gave them, constantly trying to throw the ball 50 yards downfield for no reason. And then they adjusted and they took what the defense gave them. And when it mattered most, they got greedy, they were stubborn, and for that, they were sent home. The Super Bowl, though, is set. The Cincinnati Bengals advance. We'll get back to the Cincinnati Bengals, but we got to talk Rams, and we got to talk 49ers. Keep it right here. This is The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFC Championship game features two teams from the NFC West. The Rams and the Niners met for the third time this season, and the Los Angeles Rams finally beat the San Francisco 49ers after losing six consecutive games. They snapped that streak. Now, credit to the Niners, because they did cover. From a betting perspective, dog and unders ruled championship weekend here, as it was 2-0 to the dog and 2-0 to the under. But I don't think the Los Angeles Rams or their fans care much about that, DRS, as it is a 20-17 result in favor of the home team, and they're going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Rams like to say in their own stadium, whose house? Rams' house. And when you saw the start of that game, it looked like it was a 49er home game. They were loud and proud all game long. But at the end, it was the Rams picking up the W. And I have to say, the narrative was playing out, Kevin. Look at this. Shanahan just owns McVay. A jump ball from Jimmy G to George Kittle late in the third quarter to take a 10-point lead. I'm like, oh my goodness, man. The Niners are going to get to the Super Bowl. How are the Rams going to recover from this one? Because seemingly now they really can't beat the 49ers. I thought all week the Rams were the better football team, overall more talented, and it came down on Sunday in the fourth quarter. 17 to, he had 7 points for the Rams heading into the fourth quarter. All the narratives are out there. Matthew Stafford can't get it done. McVay can't beat Garoppolo. Nobody cares about the Rams in Los Angeles. Look at this fan base here where San Francisco coming in, taking it over the town. That's a nice win. And when the stars come up big, some of these games that you watch, Kim, it's like, hey, if you want to take a touchdown prop, like, let me go with the secondary guys. Two for Cooper Kupp in this game. One for Deebo Samuel. One for George Kittle. But the anomaly of the weekend was, I like to take some long shots here. So I took two of them here that had to do with rushing the football. Rushing touchdown by each and every team on the final game. Final two games. Nobody scored a rushing touchdown, Kevin, in both of these games. Are you kidding me in this? It was an aerial assault. And when you're going to tell me this, if you would have told me before the game, in this Rams 49ers game, hey, Donnie, by the way, it's going to be no rushing touchdowns. I said, well, that ain't a good look here for Jimmy Garoppolo and the boys, because we know he struggles throwing the football. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he was going to get away with, Kevin, another game. Three straight games where he was not the reason why the San Francisco 49ers won. And at the end of this football game, when Jimmy G had the ball when it was tied and he had the ball when it was down three, just wilted in the spotlight like most of us thought he would have.
It would have been great to get the Niners to the Super Bowl, to finally be vindicated in telling people that you cannot have Jimmy Garoppolo in front of Deebo Samuel for the Super Bowl MVP, or not be vindicated and then just bet Deebo Samuel because there's no way Garoppolo could be there. But we'll get back to Garoppolo in just a minute. In terms of the Los Angeles Rams, this is the all-in team, right? This is apparently the only team that wanted to win the Super Bowl this year, right? Because, oh, all of the draft picks. How are the draft picks doing for Detroit this year? How'd they help Denver? And how'd they help Cleveland? Because at the end of the day, they don't go to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff this season. Jared Goff in his Ram career held a 3-3 postseason record compared to Stafford's now 3-0 postseason record. Jared Goff completed under 60% of his passes. Stafford on this run, 72% of his passes. Jared Goff with 4 touchdowns in 6 career playoff games with the Rams. Matthew Stafford with 8 passing touchdowns in this 3-game window and less interceptions than Goff as well. They don't get there without Matthew Stafford. They don't get there without Von Miller adding to that pass rush, elevating Donald and elevating Leonard Floyd and the defense as a whole. And you know who they also don't get there without? The kid with the yellow hair, right? The locker room cancer, the guy who can't win, me before team, I before you, right? 9 grabs, 113. A winning football player is Odell Beckham Jr. Has been his whole career because he's that good. And the Los Angeles Rams are not in the Super Bowl without Odell Beckham Jr., Donnie.
It's a pretty good point, because most people, Cooper Kupp. You have to understand the dynamics of a football game. Sean McVay is an unbelievable play caller. But you know what makes play calling a lot easier? Saying, hey, we can just go one-on-one with every other wide receiver and leave them on an island, and we'll just have to double and triple team and shade coverage to Cooper Kupp. You can't do that with Odell Beckham on the outside now. And also, we were talking about this Rams team, Kevin. It was going to be Robert Woods, Odell Beckham Jr., and Cooper Kupp at the wide receiver position. And now you're down one of those top starters in Robert Woods and Odell Beckham Jr. in the nick of time picks up the offense as an absolute weapon, because even though you look at this game and he had 9 for 113, which is great, you have to pay attention to him, and sometimes that's all you need. Matthew Stafford is a very good quarterback when he heats up, and all those narratives that we talked about in Detroit, the reason why he puts up big numbers, Kevin, it looks good, is because there's no pressure there to win at all, and he just throws for 1 million yards. How about this? You're right. 3 straight playoff wins, the first 3 of his career, and now heading into the Super Bowl in his own building and will be the favorite. A sensational fourth quarter by the Rams, never giving up on this game, because again, when we talk about, you know, how you approach games, they can tell you all they want in the locker room. It's just an individual game. But the 49ers have owned this football team and entered into the fourth. This wasn't another collapse on the Rams where they had the 17-point lead and they just gave it away. This was one where not a lot was going right for them, and they entered into the fourth quarter going, my goodness, like, we have to outscore them 13-0 to win this game. We don't even have 13 points on the board, and yet they were still able to pull it out. But I like where you're going with Odell Beckham, who now is going to get to the Super Bowl and has a legitimate chance. They are the favorite to win a ring. All those narratives will go the way on OBJ. Like, he's not a team guy, only cares about himself. Look at all the stuff he's done. Also keep in mind, guys can mature over their careers. When they come into the league at 19 and 20 years old, maybe they're flashy and hot in New York and like, hey, the world's always going to owe me something here. And then you get humbled a little bit only to come back hungrier for the Super Bowl run, which is exactly what he's doing now.
On the other side of the ball, the San Francisco 49ers had a 17-7 lead and ultimately didn't score in the fourth quarter of this game. Defense, maybe, left a little bit to be desired, but the Rams were playing well. They felt like they would be able to move the football as long as they kept targeting Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. But ultimately, when the When the Niners played the Cowboys, Jimmy Garoppolo was minus 130 to throw an interception. Never in doubt. When they played the Green Bay Packers, he was minus 148 to throw an interception. First half winner, never in doubt. And then here, minus 160 to throw an interception. Huh, Jimmy's going to get out of here without a pick. Not so fast. The last ever throw for Jimmy Garoppolo in a San Francisco 49er uniform is an interception, probably the worst of his career. He got the football back, Donnie, twice. Once with the game tied and once trailing. Ran six plays. And he mustered up an impressive 1 for 6 for -3 yards and an interception. That right there is Jimmy Garoppolo. People slandering Kyle Shanahan for punting on 4th and 2. At the end of the day, you think he's punting. If it's Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, yeah. Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position, Matthew Stafford at the quarterback position, he's not. He's absolutely not. Now, you could say he could have handed it off to Deebo Samuel, and I understand all of that there, but it's about trust in the quarterback position. We've talked about this all season long. Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is great against the spread. Another cover. Yep, I get it. He wins games. I got you. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be the Niners quarterback, and it's absolutely the right move, Donnie.
How many Super Bowls? You're right. We're downplayed. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good – he's a good NFL quarterback. There's no getting around it. But when the expectations are up there and you need to perform, you can't have a quarterback outside like a Trent Dilfer that's just going to guide you to a Super Bowl win because your defense is so dominant. They should already have a Super Bowl win under their belt. They should be headed to another Super Bowl. But you know why they're not? Because Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't deliver in the biggest moments. Sure, he won in Green Bay. He scored 6 points. That's fantastic. Sure, they won in Dallas. Was he the reason why? He's almost the reason why they should have lost that game late there. So when you're taking a look, and also look at Jimmy Garoppolo and how this laid out. If you get back to that ultimate moment here, 3 drives left in the game. This is one where they had a 3rd and 2 right around midfield here. You have Jimmy Garoppolo. You could throw the football. You have Elijah Mitchell in your backfield, and you have Deebo Samuel. So Kyle Shanahan goes with the fullback dive for no yards here. And all the times that I talk about, Kevin, during the regular season, where analytics matter, analytics are the only thing we care about. We're very analytical, and we're going to go for everything. They had a 4th and 2 with a chance to show their football team either A, let's go ahead, I trust you guys to win this football game, or B, let's go out here and say hut hike for 40 seconds and take a delay game that nobody bought that they were actually going for that, punted it away, and you end up losing the game. Now, granted, the defense could have stepped up and did some things, didn't have to let, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. get wide open down the sideline, tackle on a 15-yarder. I understand all that. But in games that matter, and you're right, you brought up the best point here. It's 3rd and 2. Tom Brady's under center. You're going for it. Maybe even Matthew Stafford in the same game. They're going for it. Aaron Rodgers, they're going for it. You're talking about the highest level quarterbacks, but I'm not even talking about that, Kevin. Just give me a quarterback that you can trust to throw the football. It's 3rd. Your whole game plan is wide open right there because you know if you turn around and try to hand it off to Deebo Samuel, they're going to attack that. You can play action off that rollout. You got George Kittle, one of the top 3 tight ends in the NFL. There were so many options, Kevin, and Kyle Shanahan goes, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I've done this many times before in big games. I'm not going to let Jimmy Garoppolo win it, but I'm not going to let him lose it, which ended up letting them lose the football game because in the biggest moments, Kyle Shanahan does not trust Jimmy Garoppolo.
And ultimately, though, who could blame him, right? Like, if I were going to criticize the decision, it would be, you should have went for it, and you should have handed it off to Deebo Samuel. But then what, right, Donnie? If they close in on Deebo, the most predictable play I've ever seen, right? And you can't win it. At the end of the day, because I know a lot of people talk about the Jaquiski Tart, right, that dropped interception. The next drive, Jimmy hit Jalen Ramsey in the numbers, right? And he just dropped the football. A classic, that's why you play cornerback moment for both teams. Yes. All in all, Jimmy Garoppolo isn't the guy. And we've kind of known that the entire time. A postseason run where they went to a championship game, 3 opportunities, and not once was he able to say, see, this is why I'm your guy. Still a lot to talk about from both of these games. Keep it right here. This is the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. Super Bowl is set. Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. Bengals, technically the home team, the Rams will be in their own building at SoFi Stadium. The Rams, a 4-point favorite, the total 49.5. Already populating those Super Bowl specials. Stafford's going to be the favorite for Super Bowl MVP. Cooper Kupp is going to, no doubt in my mind, be the most bet player in this award. And let me start right there very quickly. I asked you this question, Donnie, after the game against the Bucs. I will ask you it again. If Rams-Niners was the Super Bowl, would Stafford or Kupp have won Super Bowl MVP?
It's crazy because back-to-back weeks, we have the same exact discussion with two guys that played incredibly well. And I like to say that it's a quarterback award, but sometimes you really have to look at it as, you know, where's the most dynamic season, and you just roll it over into the playoffs because Cooper Kupp was outrageously good. And now, look, Stafford had a great regular season, but historically, Cooper Kupp is doing something that we haven't seen, and he continues it. So if we roll this same game over into the Super Bowl, we're going to have the same discussion because I got to tell you, like, we see quarterbacks throw for 300-plus yards in the playoffs routinely. Wide receivers that continually catch double-digit catches over 100 yards worth and multiple touchdowns, we don't see that all the time. So I'm going to start to change my tune right now and to see the way it's going. Maybe it's a season plus playoffs plus Super Bowl award for this MVP, and I got to be leaning towards Cooper Kupp now at this point. When last week I said, quarterback, you always give it to him. Now, granted, if we can throw a little bit of a wrench in there, at the end of the game, and this plays into it a lot, Aaron Andrews goes out. He's not interviewing Cooper Kupp. He's interviewing Matthew Stafford.
I will tell you this. As someone, you know, people love to play their fantasy playoff pools, right? I was in one myself, right? Don, if you have the highest scoring quarterback, you should be good to go, right? Cooper Kupp is out here matching Stafford. Because every touchdown Stafford throws is just landing itself in Cooper Kupp's arms. You know what I mean? Like, Kupp kind of breaks the logic on some of that. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be doing our early lines breakdown, which will not just include side and total, but so many of the numbers and canvassing what makes sense. But the second option in this market, of course, is Joe Burrow, the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I said that we would circle back to Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is undeniably a franchise changer, a franchise quarterback in the truest sense of the phrase. The first ever number one overall pick to lead his team to the Super Bowl within his first two seasons. You might hear that and say, that's random. What does that mean? No, think about that. That doesn't happen because when a number one overall pick goes to an organization, they are abysmal. They have no chance to be able to turn it around that quickly. This is a team that was 2-14 the year before he showed up. This is a team that was picked to finish last in his own division. Won the division, won the conference. The last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game was 1990. And when you have a conversation about the best young quarterbacks in the sport, ultimately everything I understand and should begin and end with Patrick Mahomes, as he has an MVP, a Super Bowl trophy, and a Super Bowl MVP. And that is what all of these young quarterbacks are going to look to achieve here, right? But ultimately, Joe Burrow has now tied Josh Allen for postseason victories. He has more postseason victories than Lamar, Dak, Baker, Watson, Kyler, Derek Carr, all of them tripling those guys. Dak Prescott has one playoff win. Lamar Jackson has one playoff win. So when you go and you talk about the best young quarterbacks in this league, and I get it, the defense has played a tremendous postseason up until this point. But this team has taken the identity of their quarterback. It is clear as day. And he's not Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not out there being carried by others. At the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan is one of the finest coaches in this league. Zach Taylor was the betting favorite to be the first coach fired coming into this season. What Joe Burrow has done is nothing short of remarkable, is unquestionably one of the best quarterbacks in this league, and I will not, and I don't care how many good throws he makes, I don't want to hear a single word about Justin Herbert being the best quarterback in that class. One of these guys is going to the Super Bowl, the other one hopes to make the playoffs someday. And don't anybody please say, well, only if Herbert would have landed in Cincinnati. Only if he would have landed where? In Cincinnati? It can't be said. It is impossible, Donnie, to overrate what Joe Burrow has done in 2 years in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not a 33-year-old. He's not like, hey, now it's his time in the middle of his prime. This is a young guy that just outdueled Patrick Mahomes. And also, I'm going to keep Joe Burrow here for a second, but Patrick Mahomes, the trajectory of his career, starting to seem a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. Like, why does he only have one Super Bowl? How many will he end up winning? How many will he get back to here? But back to Joe Burrow. Amazing performance, because I can't get over, because again, we preface so many things, Kevin, on what we see before the season starts. An afterthought, the Cincinnati Bengals. What were we actually hoping for the season for Burrow? Well, I hope he comes into this season, stays healthy, and then maybe the next year he can start maybe that, you know, win 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, and start to make the playoffs. Here he is in the Super Bowl at this point now. And also, what was the other narrative in the preseason? You take Ja'Marr Chase, ultra-talented wide receiver from LSU. Didn't play, you know, the previous year. Sits out, comes to camp. We all thought he was going to be a good wide receiver. Oh, he can't catch. It's a bust. The easiest thing you could have done was draft a star left tackle in Penei Sewell to try to protect Joe Burrow when he's coming off his injured year. Every move that the Bengals made was correct here, because you're talking about good young talent, right? Drafting. You have Joe Mixon as the in the backfield. Joe Burrow is your quarterback. You draft Ja'Marr Chase. You drafted T. Higgins. Everything on the outside is working for you with that homegrown talent, and they are way ahead of schedule. But you're right. The narrative starts to change now, where Joe Burrow isn't just a quarterback. He's going to enter next year, and you're talking about Joe Burrow top five or even better as a quarterback. You want to talk about a guy that came in from college, and how many times we said, oh, let me see him doing it at the pro game. I don't know. How about going with an LSU team that's one of the most talented in the history of college football? Goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, yeah, he's really going to resuscitate that franchise. Nobody can do that. And within a three-year term, has them playing for they are AFC the Bengals. Are AFC champions, including going on the road versus the only team that got a bye week that was completely healthy in the Tennessee Titans, beating them and doing the impossible. Not only did Joe Burrow and his Cincinnati Bengals go into Kansas City down 18 points, come back in the second half, and the minute that coin toss was flipped and they lost it, they were dead and buried, and yet they still won the football game. Because even though Patrick Mahomes threw that interception in overtime, they still had the football in roughly, what, midfield, their own 45-yard line. They still had to move it down, and he did it with ice in his veins, handing off short passes, get him in field goal range, end that game here. Unbelievable 2021-2022 season here for Joe Burrow. Sensational stuff.
And I'm glad you brought up the Mahomes trajectory. If Patrick Mahomes had lost that Super Bowl to the Niners, he would be early season LeBron. Clearly the best there is, but people, for the most part, inaccurately, oh, can he win the big one? Can he win the big one? But instead, he won that Super Bowl in Patrick Mahomes fashion. There's no question about can Mahomes win the big one. 100% hit rate in making a conference championship game. There is still nobody out there who is at least speaking through honest lips that's going to tell you there is a quarterback they would rather have over the next decade. Here is the reality, though, on Patrick Mahomes. He is beatable. The Kansas City Chiefs are beatable. Ultimately, they have three postseason losses under this, you know, if you want to call them a dynasty era, whatever you would like to label it. At the end of the day, the first loss was in a shootout. What we thought was the only possible way to ever beat this team was scoring 40 points, right? 36, 37, I believe, the New England Patriots put up in that overtime win against Pat. But he never got the football, right? And then they lose the Super Bowl in a game where little too injured, offense never got clicking, no touchdowns. A really bad offensive performance, kind of for the history books there. But the thing about both of those losses is Tom Brady was on the other side, and he's this mythical creature with superpowers who we'll talk about in hour number two. Maybe only Tom Brady can find a way. And then Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, Mahomes in Mahomes' house for the second time this season. At the end of the day, every single way you can kind of beat a team, a shootout, shut them down, or come back from behind has now been put on the Kansas City Chiefs resume. Donnie, they're going to be the Super Bowl favorites next year. They should be the Super Bowl favorites next year. Yeah. And they might be the Super Bowl favorites every single year of Patrick Mahomes' career. And they probably should be. At least that's kind of the way things look. I'll probably predict they win the Super Bowl next year in the way that I've predicted LeBron's going to win the NBA championship every single season. Because not because of a bias, but because I look and I go, that's the best guy. But when they lose, you go, I can see how it happens. And ultimately, that's the difference. After that win against the Buffalo Bills, it was like that is an inevitable, untouchable force in Patrick Mahomes. Not so fast. Still the best quarterback in the league, Donnie, but beatable.
No, certainly is. And how many talking points did we use last week coming into this game between the Chiefs and the Bengals? You say, boy, nobody's going to go into Kansas City and win this game. Because, again, I didn't think Kansas City was going to lose this. But from a Bengals perspective, hey, guys, we're not just playing with house money here. Do you remember just a few weeks ago, we beat this football team. We're not coming into it because the analogy I used was the Pittsburgh Steelers got waxed and then showed up in Arrowhead and got waxed again. So it's sort of like we're going to anticipate this. But the Cincinnati Bengals stepped up to the plate in a close football game, and Joe Burrow goes, I'm going to win this game. Me and Jamar Chase, we're going to win this game together, two young players. And then you stepped into the void here and said, hold on now. It's 21-3. Everything has gone wrong. And even though you watch these in the biggest games, Kevin, you still have to play it week to week. This isn't the best of seven. I think we could both agree. If this was a seven-game series, four games in Kansas City, three games in Cincinnati, what does it end? Five, six games probably towards Kansas City. But the fact of the matter is you get one game to do it. And this wasn't even one of those games, Kevin, where Cincinnati came in this game up 21-3 and had a close win at the end because Mahomes was charging through the door. This was a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid-led offense that was Swiss cheesing the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. And an error at the end of the first half, which you always want to get momentum. I don't mind teams being extra, you know, conservative when you have the lead at home, because Andy Reid, as it was saying on the telecast, tried to send the field goal unit out to kick that, and Mahomes waved them off only to throw the ball short of the goal line to end it. And you're still saying to yourself, it's still a big victory. Double digits at the half. Chiefs get the ball first here, and all of a sudden the pass rush started to get home for the Cincinnati Bengals. It was a wonderful performance all the way through, but sometimes we have to remember both of these sides, they're still human beings. And if you have that little inkling that we can beat this football team, we just beat this football team, even down 18 points, all you need is one play to spark it, and maybe that was that play just before the half, stopping them from scoring a touchdown or even kicking a field goal.
Ultimately, a phenomenal weekend of football. Two games where it was, again, dogs and under. There are probably some people out there who pretty pleased if they went double dogs, double under. Some I told you so's maybe, right? Yeah. In the household there. I knew it. Hey, listen, I love a good I told you so. But I'll tell you this right now. For all of you watching at home and listening, unless you're one specific individual, you didn't have the best I told you so. Because over this weekend, the all-time greatest I told you so, the all-time greatest prediction, and statistically, at least on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the all-time greatest parlay. We will hit that on the other side next, right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Greatest parlay in history. Literally. Two correct scores bang on the nose. The Bengals, 27, Chiefs, 24. The Rams, 20. The Niners, 17. 29,000 to 1. $1 gets you 29 grand back. And $20 gets you $579,000. I love that this thing says $20 bonus use. Somebody, maybe down to their last 20, says, you know what? Let's go out there, take one from deep. I mean, that's not even one from deep. That's like you're at a basketball park with like four courts and you're four courts over and just throw it behind your back. $579,000. And I got to be honest with you, Donnie, well earned. Both games, bang on the number, including picking a dong on a 7.5 spot there. Unbelievable. And again, the FanDuel Sportsbook said that this was the biggest thing that they've ever had to pay out from a same-game parlay like this.
It's incredible. It's incredible to see. This is one of those bets, Kevin, that you probably put this in, forget about it, wake up the next morning with $579,000 in your account going, what happened here? What type of error? Oh, my goodness, the score is. That's one of you know, when I talk about bet it and forget it. What an unbelievable score. And the only thing I would have waited for is like, hey, you use the $20 bonus and they're excluded in parlays above like 5-1 at that point. But no, it's an absolute legitimate ticket here. $579,000 off 20. I don't know how you even came up with those scores to predict those, but congratulations to somebody waking up with a half of a milli in their account. That's genius stuff here. It really is.
And the thing that I do like about that though, is I have to imagine that this person isn't one of the sharp touts, don't parlay. You can't do that. It's not plus EV. Now, this person just walked up to the line. LaMelo Ball pointed, said, catch me at the window. 500 large in the bank account. Good for you. We come right back. The early line, hour number two is live.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.